call the meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance and remain standing for a moment of silence. Clerk Fabella, would you please read the announcements?
Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Can't hear me? Now you can. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the public hearings. Roll call. Archer. Bartels.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
DeLon.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Eckert. Fabiano. Gerentine.
Here.
Green. I know I saw her. Haynes. Hepner.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Mayo.
Here.
Maloney. Brenda.
Here.
Maloney. Joseph.
Here.
Nolan.
Here.
Petit. Roberts. Rodriguez, Ronk,
here.
Waro, Waltman, and Green.
Here.
17 present, 6 absent.
Okay, I call the first public hearing to order. Clerk Fabella, can you please read the title?
Tonight's first public hearing is on the proposed 2020 Ulster County budget and the proposed 2020 to 2025 capital program.
And how many speakers do we have signed up to speak?
There are no speakers signed up.
Is there anyone present who would like to speak on this public hearing? Anyone present who would like to speak on this public hearing? Legislator Litz? All in favor of closing the public hearing?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. This public hearing is adjourned. I call the second public hearing to order. Clerk Fabella, can you please read the title of the second public hearing?
Tonight's second public hearing is being conducted in accordance with Article 2, Section 202 of the New York State Eminent Domain Procedure Law on a proposed public project to construct the Ulster County Midtown Linear Park.
How many speakers do we have signed up to speak?
There are 2 people signed up.
Okay, I'm going to call up Chris White first, but I'm also going to let you know that you have 3 minutes to speak. Please be mindful of the timekeeper in the back of the room. Any written comments can be submitted to the clerk to be included in the record.
Can you hear me? All right. I'm Christopher White, Deputy Director of Planning for Ulster County and the Project Manager for the Ulster County Midtown Linear Park Project, also known as PIN 8761.82, which is the subject of this public hearing. The proposed project is located in the city of Kingston and will create a 0.8-mile non-motorized shared-use path from Westbrook Lane to Cornell Street. This public hearing is required to comply with Article 2 of the Eminent Domain Procedure Law, EDPL, and for regulations for federally funded transportation projects involving right-of-way. A notice of public hearing was published in the Daily Freeman for 5 consecutive days beginning October 27, 2019. The notice was also published in 2 weekly papers, Ulster Publishing Almanac and the Shongum Journal, on October 31st and November 7th, 2019. The purposes of the hearing are to provide information on the project background, public use, public benefits and purpose, describe the location and the reasons for selection of that location, discuss the general effect of the project, identify the property interests the county will need to acquire in order to construct the project, and accept and consider public comments. The statements made during tonight's public hearing will be recorded by a stenographer. Additionally, Various documents are being made available to the public for inspection. Those documents have been pre-marked as exhibits and will be incorporated into the record of this hearing. Public comments and other documents related to the proposed projects will be accepted until December 12, 2019, and also will be included in the public hearing record. Copies of tonight's transcript and exhibits will be available to the public without cost during normal business hours at the Ulster County Planning Department and will also be posted to the department's website. Within 90 days after the record of this hearing is complete, the record will be delivered to the county legislature for consideration and rendering of its determination and findings concerning the project. A brief synopsis of the legislature's determination and findings will then be published in appropriate newspapers. The pre-marked exhibits that are going to be incorporated into the record and will be made available for public view include: Exhibit 1 is a copy of the notice submitted to the newspapers mentioned previously and affidavits of publication. Exhibit 2 is a copy of the right-of-way acquisitions necessary to construct the project. Exhibit 3 is a copy of the final design report prepared by HVEA Engineers, the firm retained by the county to design the project. The report contains many of the technical details, including the scope and evolution, alternatives, and the environmental, historical, and social factors considered. In addition to these pre-marked exhibits, the stenographic record of the oral public comments and all written comments and documents will be entered into this hearing record. At this time, I would request that all the pre-marked exhibits be admitted into the record of the proceedings. The Midtown Linear Park project proposes to construct a 0.8-mile, fully accessible, non-motorized pedestrian and bicycle path. This facility will be 12-foot-wide asphalt-paved trail connecting the Kingston Plaza at Westbrook Lane to Cornell Street in Midtown Kingston, which will allow residents in Midtown Kingston neighborhoods to safely access the city's only major supermarket and other services in the Kingston Plaza by foot or by bicycle. The project is 80% federal transportation funds and 20% private grant funds. The project will follow the alignment of the former Ulster and Delaware, or UND, railroad, and nearly one half of the project site has already been cleared of track and ties and opened as an interim pedestrian path. This project will significantly improve the interim trail and extend it eastward to Cornell Street. The project includes drainage improvements, fencing and lighting installation, installation of new subbase and paved surface, cleanup of the former rail yard between Cornell and O'Neill Streets, and upgrades to meet the Americans with Disability Act regulations. The goals of the project are to improve pedestrian and bicycle access between Midtown Kingston and Kingston Plaza, improve the quality of life for neighborhood residents, expand park and recreational opportunities in an area of Kingston with little access to nearby parks, and support the continued revitalization of Midtown Kingston. The project is being developed in compliance with all state and federal environmental regulations, including the State Environmental Quality Review Act, SEQR, and the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA. All required permits will be obtained prior to construction, and it's anticipated the project will have no adverse environmental impacts. The construction of the project is scheduled to begin in mid-2020. The project requires 11 fee acquisitions to clear title on the county's Ulster and Delaware right-of-way, along with one temporary construction easement. And I will now ask Robert Cook of the law firm Cook, Netter, Clunan, Kurtz, and Murphy, PC, to speak briefly about these acquisitions.
Good evening. Generally, in an eminent domain proceeding, we know the identity of the owners of the parcels that we're seeking to obtain through the eminent domain proceeding. That's generally what the case is. In this particular case, it's unique in that the land to be acquired has actually been in the possession of the county for the past 40 years. It's been maintained by the county. But prior to that time, it was in the possession of various railroad companies dating back to the 1870s. Although a good portion of the land for this project is already in the county's name by deed, there are 11 parcels that are landlocked that we need to do the proceeding to obtain clear title. The majority of these parcels are very small, with 8 of the parcels being less than a quarter of an acre. 4 of those are less than 1/10 of an acre. And we estimate that the nominal value for these properties are less than $1,000. When we conducted our title search, we determined that the parcels to be acquired were originally easements in the name of Thomas Cornell, who was a property owner, or in his railroad company, that they obtained in the late 1800s from various property owners to create the railroad corridor for the construction of the rail line. The easements were only for railroad purposes. But when these parcels were subsequently sold to new owners, the deed descriptions omitted the railroad easement, making each parcel smaller. Thus, the chain of title ended with the transfer of the property as the new owners, they did not incorporate the area that was incorporated in the easement. The area that incorporated the railroad easement stayed in the possession of the individual who provided the original easement and subsequently to his heirs, his or her heirs. And as a result, there are no living owners to the parcels that we seek to acquire and no one to negotiate with. The only individuals that this process could affect are the heirs of those original owners of the land when the easements were given. This would include the heirs of Thomas Cornell himself and those other property owners back in the mid or early 1800s. The current owner of the properties that abut the property area do not have any compensable property rights, and this acquisition will not affect them at all. The only current property owner that is affected on a temporary basis is Herzog Supply Company. We need to obtain an easement for construction purposes on a temporary basement from Herzog Supply Company. Since it's virtually impossible for us to trace the family lineage for each of these parcels dating back about 150 years, in this case, we need to formally acquire the properties to these 11 parcels through the eminent domain proceedings. This still requires us to obtain an appraisal for each parcel, deposit the money to purchase each parcel with the Office of the New York State Comptroller. We also need to commence this eminent domain proceeding in Ulster County Supreme Court and provide whatever notice the court requires to the public concerning these acquisitions. This will allow the heirs of the original owners to make claims for the value of each property with the appropriate amount of money to be set aside. Since this is a federally funded project, any heir who comes forward with the appropriate proof will receive compensation with the outside grant money that's been deposited with the state comptroller. And this is the only way that we can clear title to these 11 parcels that we are seeking for this project. In essence, this eminent domain proceeding that we're bringing on behalf of the county is simply to quiet title to the premises. Thank you.
This concludes the presentation, so I will turn the hearing over to legislative staff in a moment. Please note that the required format for this hearing does not allow us to respond to your statements and questions at this time, but I am available to answer questions following the public hearing. All statements and comments received this evening will be considered in the preparation of the determination and findings. Written comments, questions, and documents will be accepted by the county until close of business on December 12, 2019, and can be submitted to the Ulster County Planning Department, 244 Fair Street, P.O. Box 1800, Kingston, New York, 12402. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Director White. We'll now open the floor for public comment. I remind you that you have 3 minutes to speak.
The first speaker signed up is Ted Grease.
Good evening, everyone. my name is Ted Greasy. I'm a resident of the city of Kingston and operations manager for the Kingston Land Trust. I'm here today on behalf of the Land Trust to speak in support of the development of the Midtown Linear Park. This project will open up a direct connection between Midtown and Uptown as a safe and accessible non-motorized transportation route and park space that will also make Kingston a more connected and accessible city for those of all ages, abilities, and economic backgrounds. When we do outreach in this area of Kingston, we find overwhelmingly that residents and businesses want this project to happen and are excited and energized about it. We've observed that just since the interim trail was open late last year, pedestrian and cyclist use of the corridor has increased significantly. Many users have told us that they feel much safer now that the area has been cleaned up and is more active. They can't wait for it to be improved further. In fact, the biggest complaint we've gotten over the last year is that the temporary surface should be improved so that it's easier for people to use their bikes, strollers, and mobility assist devices on it. So we thank the legislature for the ongoing support of the Midtown Linear Park. As we explain to those eager citizens who contact us for the status of the project, we know that there is process to this type of thing, and this hearing is part of that. We're confident that the county is doing their due diligence in understanding, researching, and acquiring the parcels in question. It's our understanding the county does its utmost to work with landowners towards a mutually satisfactory transaction, with eminent domain being utilized only as a last recourse. We very much look forward to being a part of transforming this vacant and underutilized transportation corridor into a valuable and lasting neighborhood asset and public good for the city of Kingston and Ulster County. Thank you for your time.
Kevin Smith.
I'm okay. I think Ted summed it all up. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak at public hearing number two? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the public hearing. Okay, all those in favor of adjourning the public hearing?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The second public hearing is adjourned, and I call the third public hearing to order. Clerk Fabella, can you please read the title of the public hearing?
Tonight's third public hearing is on proposed local law number 10 of 2019, a local law regarding comprehensive campaign finance reform in Ulster County. There are currently 13 speakers signed up.
Okay, I'm going to remind you that you all have 3 minutes to speak. Please keep in mind the timekeeper at the back of the room, and any written comments you have can be submitted and will be included in the file.
The first speaker, I'm not sure if he's here, is Henry Bartosik. Okay. The next speaker is Cynthia Wagner.
Mr. Bartosik is here.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm Cynthia Wagner. My husband and I live and pay taxes in Ulster County in the town of Wawarsing. I read several times the 38 pages of law number 10. The amount of gobbledygook needed to regulate the distribution of the fund is a measure of how flawed an idea it is. A bad idea covered with Band-Aids is still a bad idea. The starting 75K fund is already set aside in the 2020 budget to distribute to candidates. This is quite a statement in itself. Where is the fairness in this? Forcing a taxpayer to give money to a candidate that we do not agree with, that is what this fund will do. The courts already have ruled that unions can't do this with dues, so why should our government direct political speech? People express themselves in different ways. Supporting the candidate we like is one of them. They are our voice. Doesn't this go against my freedom of expression or speech? When debating politics with friends and neighbors, one thing we do agree on is that it is not okay to spend our tax money for political campaigns. In this proposal, it says candidates can opt in or is it out, whichever really. I want the same option, do any of you? And finally, an unintended consequence of this proposal is that it will increase the cost of everyone's campaign and further elevate dollars over ideas and opinions in our elections. This should be deferred and presented as a ballot proposition in the next election, including the cost of the new hires and hearing officers, court and filing costs. If the purpose is to further democracy, then let's be democratic and let the people decide, put it to a vote. Thank you.
Sam Niffin.
Hello. All right. So, first of all,
just pull it a little closer to your mouth.
All right. First of all, just prefacing this, I don't believe that property taxes are ethical at all because it pretty much extorts people for owning land. I'm not a landowner myself. I'm only 18. But I've seen the absurd property taxes that my dad pays, and the fact that the county would even consider using this money to finance campaigns that I may or may not disagree with is absurd. That's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Janet Knott.
Good evening, and thank you for allowing us to speak tonight. As was said, my name is Janet Knott. I'm a licensed clinical social worker for the Department of Mental Health in Ulster County. Been so for the last 29 years. In addition to that, I'm the current CSEA president for the county unit and an Ulster County taxpayer living in the town of Rosendale. I want to express my extreme opposition to this proposed local law on campaign finance reform. I'm very well acquainted with the services that county employees provide to the residents who live here, from highways to child protective services to crime victims. And I could give you an extensive list on how $75,000 of taxpayer money could be better spent on enhancing those services. And what happens when $75,000 becomes $100,000 or $100,000 becomes $200,000? So $75,000 to finance public campaign or $75,000 to provide better services to the county's residents living here. Please vote no on this local law number 10, and thank you so much for letting us speak.
Todd Schmidt.
Good evening. My name is Todd Schmidt. I'm the CSEA Local 856 president. I'm also the Region 3 Political Action Chair and Vice President of CSEA Region 3, representing 30,000 CSEA members and their families. I'm also a resident of the town of Ulster. I've lived in this county for almost 50 years, and I've worked for the county for more than 31 years. And most importantly, as a taxpayer, I think when we think about what is the purpose of government, what is government's job? Government's job is to provide services to people, to its constituents, whether that's with the winter weather we had this morning, salting, plowing the roads, whether that's repairing our bridges, whether that's taking care of our veterans, taking care of our elderly, taking care of people who are in need, falling down on their luck, unemployed, have to go to social services to get assistance, hopefully for a temporary basis. That is what the purpose of government is, not publicly financing campaigns for people who want to get into the political arena. I strongly urge both Democrats and Republicans to reject this. And as Janet mentioned earlier, 75 this year, 100 next year, 200, so on. Where does it end? And the bottom line is that the money could be greatly used in other areas. As we think back over the last 10 or 15 years on how the budget and the services that employees here have provided have gotten smaller. So I ask you to reject this. Thank you very much for the time.
Tom Denton.
Good evening. I attended a hearing in this room several months ago when the subject you debated was proposed sites in the county for early voting. At that same meeting, a number of legislators here jostled about money, specifically whether its influence had penetrated the actions of government through campaign contributions, the awarding of contracts, and the favoring of certain groups or individuals over others. It seemed to me then that money was the proverbial elephant in the room, making many of you uncomfortable. Tonight, we're talking about money again and how to deal with it. I believe the legislature should be commended for tackling the subject of campaign financing. The proposed solutions before you will go a long way toward tempering the influence of money in our political system. It will give good prospective candidates opportunities they don't currently have, candidates on both sides of the aisle. It will make it possible to rebalance the power of large and small donors. It will help improve transparency. And although fairness is a challenging abstraction when it comes to money, passing the campaign finance bill will signal that the Ulster County Legislature is willing to try to be more fair for the benefit of its citizens and the principles of good government. Democracy is a public resource, and it needs and deserves public support. This bill has been a long time coming through the efforts of public officials and county residents. When it is passed, I believe that you will have good cause to feel comfortable and proud. Thank you.
The next speaker is Attilio Contini.
Madam Chairman, legislators, general public. Good evening. My name is Attilio Contini, and I learned about this local law this morning when I went. Thank you. I learned about this local law this morning when I went on the computer, and you have to bear with me because I didn't even bother to read it because it's like 38 pages long. A statement or two might not be exactly correct, but that's neither here nor there. The problem is, and I sincerely ask you to vote this thing down. I don't even know why you're considering it. I can't understand how you could seriously even bother to consider it. Do any of you realize the possible consequences of this local law? Looking at just the first page of it, I would predict that conceivably the impact on the taxpayers of this county would be far more considerable than that measly $75,000 that somebody was talking about, because right now I can think of one candidate who ran in this county this year that if this law was in effect, he probably would have received over $1 million from this fund. Over $1 million. Maybe I'm a little bit incorrect, but quick math tells me he could have received more than that. If you really want to do something constructive for campaign reform, not only in this county, but in the entire country, I would suggest that you would consider a local law that would require that a background check be made on every single candidate that runs for public office, and even for people that want to be appointed for high positions in public office. That background check should include a security check, and any candidate that cannot get a security clearance should be barred from ever holding public office, not only here in the county, but in the entire country. That would be something positive. Like I said, I strongly suggest that you consider voting this thing down and never, ever consider it again. Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Howard Ball.
Good evening. My name is Howard Ball. I've been a county resident going on 45 years now. I'm employed by CSCA. I'm a labor relations specialist, but I'm also a county taxpayer. Over the 14 years that I've been involved with CSEA, you know, I've watched this legislature have verbal bloodbaths on the floor of this legislature over as little as $1,000 in a proposed budget. Some of you that are in this room have had those same battles over the years. You know, I've personally battled and I've watched as our county services have been reduced or eliminated in a claim to reduce taxes. It's not really true that our taxes haven't gone up. You know, maybe our bills have remained somewhat the same, but we've lost huge amounts of services over the years. Essentially, we're paying the same money, but we're getting far less product. That's a tax increase. During a time of increasing mental health needs and increasing drug problem, the county cut mental health services, closed community corrections program, cut drug treatment services. The county at one point even eliminated 75% of the welfare fraud investigation unit. All of this was done because the executive and the legislature determined at one point or another that it was not important enough to spend money on these items. But now here we are today with a proposal to set aside thousands and thousands of dollars, at least in the beginning, of taxpayer money to fund political campaigns. Our county is still suffering with inadequate mental health services. We still have inadequate drug treatment programs. Drug crimes are continuously increasing, but yet we are considering spending thousands of dollars of taxpayer money to fund political campaigns. That's just ridiculous. I urge all of you to reject this proposed local law number 10 and vote no. Thank you.
Cynthia Bell.
My name is Cynthia Bell, and I speak both as a citizen of Ulster County and the president of the League of Women Voters of the Mid-Hudson Region. It was both an honor and a pleasure to serve on the subcommittee to refine this law, and I found it to be a surprisingly bipartisan and respectful effort. These legislators generously welcomed input by all of us present and were thoughtful and open to the conversation. In the end, all agreed that this is the best version of the document that will be put before you for a vote. It seems that one major sticking point of this law is the public financing portion. I certainly understand that. Though we all pay for things we'll never use or for helping people we'll never know. I do it all the time because it is for the greater good of our community. These procedures have been proven successful in the places where they have been implemented and have resulted in better government that is more representative of the people. Because of this, the League of Women Voters of the United States supports this type of campaign finance reform. I believe this law is just about as good as it can be, and welcome all to actually read it. I believe it sends the message to voters that Ulster County government supports a fair and balanced democratic process. Please vote yes for campaign finance reform. Thank you.
Thomas Merling.
Hello. I want to just start out by saying I do not understand how any member of this body feels they have the right to come into our homes and take the food off of our tables to finance your own personal gains. And that's what this is. This is your own personal gains. You just want to run for office, pay for your run. It's not our responsibility to do that. We're not talking about needing funds to repair infrastructure, feed the indigent, or some type of unforeseen emergency. We're talking about politicians taking our money and using it to buy their yard signs, palm cards, bumper stickers, pens, and other personal political nonsense. In the end, you are not just robbing us of our family's finances. You are stripping us of our right to not give politicians our money. even the politicians we profusely agree with, disagree with. There's been talk about this taking the big money out of this, but I see nothing in that bill that stops George Soros, who just put $200,000 plus into the David Clegg campaign by sending out mailers and ads in David's on David's behalf. David didn't know about that, but it was still legal for the George Soros to do this. So there's nothing in this bill that stops that. So the big money will still be here. It's just that the politicians will be able to sit there and say, oh, look, we only took small donor money. Meanwhile, in the background, they're going to be funded by the same big money that you are all claiming this is going to end. It's also not going to help the little guy, which is another thing. This is supposed to help the little guy come in and play against the big guys. But the incumbent, if you're going to give both people the same amount of money, the incumbent already has the edge. You're hamstringing the new guy because it's going to take them more, or ladies, it's going to take them more money to get their name recognition up to the incumbent. Now, these are not my words, so don't throw anything here. Christianity is a gateway drug to male-identified daddy idol worship, misogyny, and white supremacy. It's at the root of the problem. Christian jihad is happening now. These are the Facebook posts of a woman that just ran for county legislator. So are you going to tell the Christians in this town, in this county, the tens of thousands of Christians in this town, that they have to pay for this woman's campaign? Absolutely not. There's more on the back, which she says about people like myself who voted for Donald Trump. Are you going to tell me that I have to pay her? I mean, there's some nasty words on this. So this is a woman that just ran for county legislator, and there's no way that we should be forced to pay for her campaign. Thank you.
Penny Coleman.
Hi, I'm Penny Coleman. I live in Rosendale, and I want to thank you all for letting me speak tonight, and I also really want to thank the members of the Subcommittee on Campaign Finance Reform who were incredibly dedicated to this project. What campaign finance reform does is effectively limit the intrusion of big money and outright corruption into our local and countywide elections. Public anger about corruption depresses participation. When voters feel that only big donors have a say, they have less reason to turn out and engage politically in other ways. And that's not just a shame, it's a threat. When citizens become disillusioned with and distrust our local political processes, we all lose. Among the specific things this legislation does is it makes it possible for people with limited resources, those who would never have considered running in the past, to wage competitive campaigns, and it encourages diversity among our candidates and office holders. With diversity comes different experiences and different priorities. The requirement that candidates raise large numbers of small donations means that they must find ways to connect with large numbers of their constituents. That means more meet and greets, more town halls, more face-to-face interactions with voters where the real issues and concerns of the community can be addressed. The impact of donations from those who can only afford small amounts is augmented. When a $10 contribution becomes a $60 contribution, it gives voice to members of the community who felt unheard in the past. The small donations raised, when matched by public funds, make it possible for candidates and office holders to put the needs of their constituents above the needs of their donors. And the lowered cap on all contributions promotes public trust in officials and government. There are fewer opportunities for pay-to-play corruption or even its appearance. And for any who think that a higher ratio by which small donations are matched means that candidates will get more public money, that's simply not true. The amount of public money available for any qualifying candidate remains exactly the same, whatever the ratio. The law may set the ratio at 3-1, at 6-1, or at 10-1, but the maximum amount of public money that a candidate can receive remains the same. The only difference is how long it takes to get there. The arguments against campaign finance reform seem to boil down to money. I don't want my tax dollars paying for politicians to run for office. But it's probably worth remembering that sometimes very small increases in our taxes mean avoiding far greater indirect costs down the line. It can be a lot more expensive when we have to pick up the tab for some favor an elected official has done a big campaign donor. And there is, in my opinion, a great deal to be said in favor of giving more of us reason to trust our local government and even to be consider becoming part of it. Thanks.
Alisa Tucci.
Good evening, Madam Chairwoman. My name is Alisa Tucci. I reside in Woodstock and I work as a teacher in Saugerties. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you this evening and voice my support for local law number 10. As an educator of young people, I see how easy it is to live your life in a bubble of social media and reality TV. This has influenced me to be more engaged and more informed, and some way that landed me in being more engaged in local politics. Over the last couple of years, I've been attending regular sessions of the Ulster County Legislature. And this has helped me garner an understanding of how local politics work. During this time, I've heard this body speak and vote on awarding contracts to companies such as Gorman Brothers, Peckman Road Corp, Westchester Medical Group, to name a few. And heated debates have ensued about the impropriety of awarding contracts to companies that may or may not have legally or illegally made donations to political campaigns. I do not wish to rehash these arguments. I believe it's best to leave them in the past. I am more concerned with the future. The reason that I mention them is because, as a constituent, I want you to know that I find it deeply troubling. And I find this bill as an opportunity to address the impropriety of money in politics, whether it is actual or perceived. For me, campaign finance reform is an opportunity to create fair elections. One of the most exciting components, I believe, of this bill is the small donor matching system. This system helps remove the hindrance that some individuals that might want to run for public office might face due to limited resources. This is a really great example of leveling the playing field. I mentioned earlier that I am a teacher. Every day I engage with young people. I try to present them with reasons to care, to be involved and present in their lives. And I must admit, it is a challenge to pull them up out of their apathy. And when you look at the world they live in, who can blame them? I believe this is an opportunity. This law is actually an opportunity to show the people of Ulster County that you care about making some serious changes. It's time that we make some serious changes about the big money that's in politics. I believe that the vote that you could make on campaign finance reforms can help to fix these things and leave our young people a brighter future. Thank you.
Todd Wogamuth.
Good evening. my name's Todd Wogamuth. I'm also here to speak on the campaign finance reform, law number 10. According to the legislative findings sections, this law aims to reduce public influence gained from political campaign contributions and prevent corruption or even the perception of it. I'd also point out that small donor matching programs allow people from diverse socioeconomic backgrounds to campaign for for public office by leveling the playing field with those of greater means. And this helps the diversity of our communities be reflected in the representation, which is what fair elections is all about. Presumably, everybody wants fair elections, I would guess, unless, of course, they already benefit from a skewed system. Because I also attended most of the subcommittee meetings on this, I'm aware that there are concerns regarding the cost to taxpayers, and obviously I can hear it tonight. Being a taxpayer of 30 years, I did some calculations on those costs. And I will give my calculations in writing. But in 2020, the cost of this bill per adult in Ulster County comes to 53 cents. It comes to $1.08 per household, or if you go by tax parcel, it comes to 86 cents. In the countywide election years, the maximum that's allowed is $210,000, like one we just went through, where everybody's getting elected. The maximum cost to a taxpayer is $1.50, an adult in the county. The maximum in a household is $3.01, $3.01. A parcel of tax, a tax parcel is $2.84. It seems to me that if you honestly explain true costs and the benefits of these laws, you'd get wholehearted support for the law. How could I not want to spend $2.84 to have fair elections in my county? Now, while I know there's other interests, unions in particular oppose this, when one looks at the millions of dollars those organizations pour into campaigns, it's easy to see why they don't want their influence affected by it. It's easy to see the argument. In order to counter these big money adversaries, they seem to need the same influence, is not really compelling, because what we want is fair representation. So the solution to big money in politics isn't bigger money in politics. It's a robust small donor matching program, preferably in a closed system, but this isn't, unfortunately, but it could be, and it encourages the participation of the whole community. This law is a great step in the right direction. I hope the legislator will support it. It's really not about parties. This is about fair representation, an inclusive representation. I'm sorry, but the unions in this country have poured $217 million since 2016 into political races. That's a lot of clout, and it's not fair to the rest of the country. We need fair elections. And small donor matching can go a long way to do that. And the limits that are put in this law go even further to help get big money out of politics. So I hope you support it. Thank you.
The last speaker signed up is Gay Galitzin.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm an Ulster County resident. I live in Kingston. I fully support this campaign finance initiative. It strikes a real blow to the pay-to-pay contributors and makes the small local donor more important, leveling the playing field for the average voter. And it works. In New York City, the New York City Council elections have matching funds, and you can track the map on a map the huge number of small donors from all over the city, which is a real contrast to the map of donors for other elections, where the large donors from a few affluent areas predominate. Secondly, it will enable people from all walks of life, to stand for election. I'd like to see more representatives from the caring industries, from the education field, and maybe see the farming industry represented. Candidates standing for rural districts have a much harder time reaching their constituents and raising funds to do so than those representing the towns. And if they are non-traditional candidates, they have even more hurdles. Getting the support of small donors will allow these people access to public funds, which may make the difference in their campaigns. I urge you to vote yes on this bill. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who did not sign up who would like to speak on proposed local law number 10 of 2019? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second? Okay. All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, the third public hearing is adjourned, and I call the fourth and final public hearing to order. Clerk Fabella, can you please read the title?
Tonight's fourth and final public hearing is on Ulster County Community Development Block Grant Funds administered by the New York State Homes and Community Renewal, Ulster County Home Ownership Program, and there are no speakers signed up.
Is there anyone present who did not sign up who would like to speak during the fourth public hearing? Anyone like to speak? Hearing none, I will. Legislator Donald second. All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the fourth public hearing is adjourned. There are two additional public hearings on the proposed 2019 Ulster County budget and the proposed 2020 to 25 capital program, and those are scheduled for tomorrow night, Wednesday, November 13th, at the Woodstock Community Center, 56 Rock City Road in Woodstock, New York, 12498. That's at 6 p.m. And Thursday night, November 14th, at the Lloyd Town Hall, 12 Church Street in Highland, New York, 12528 at 6 p.m. The next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on November 19th, 2019 at 7 p.m. here in the Legislative Chambers, 6th floor, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. May I have a motion to adjourn? Legislator Litz. Do I have a second? All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
And opposed? Okay. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.